Morning. Dude, I so need that haircut right there. Totally need that. Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, so good to be with you guys here today. My name is Eric Cooper. I'm the other half of the co-pastor team of City Community Church. You met Nathan LaGrange last week. I like to say I'm the better-looking, more coherent one. It's not really true. It just makes me feel better, you know, standing up here today. But now Nathan and I have been good friends. We've worked together for a long time and launched City Community Church together just a little bit over 3 years ago, and it's been quite a journey. But I remember it was about a year ago. That's what I was telling Dustin. You guys like here, you plan things way in advance, and actually, as I'll share with you here over the course of the next few minutes, I really like that. But like Dustin and Dave, they called us up. They took us out for breakfast last July, I think. It was last July or August. They're like, hey, next summer we're going to do this series. And we're like, next summer? Like, next summer? Really? So I love that. I love that about these guys. My type A personality really connects with that kind of planning. But they asked us, you know, to come down and kind of do this combined series. And it's really an honor for us, guys, to be here. You know, we really believe that we are a part of a greater church. So we planted City Community Church in downtown Indianapolis because we believed we needed an expression in that place. But it doesn't mean that we think that we've got something figured out that other people don't have figured out. We understand that we're a part of a greater body. And so when Dave and Dustin asked us to come down here and do this series, it just fits right into how we feel about the kingdom of God. And you know, we like to say we're a part of the church of Indianapolis or greater Indianapolis. And so it's an honor to be here, you know. I listened to Nathan's message on the podcast this week, and so I decided just to take the whole week off, so I really have nothing prepared to share with you this morning. It's not really true. You saw me bring the piece of paper up here with me, didn't you? You know, I'm cheating. But this whole concept of rest, I think, is something we need to talk about, because it's something that I don't think we're honestly all that good at. I know I'm not all that good at it in my life, because I'm not sure I always know exactly what it means to rest. And so I'm going to try to exercise and practice what I preach literally here today, because as soon as this service is over, my wife and my family, they're picking me up in a van and we're driving to Gatlinburg for 5 days. So I thought I'm gonna have to actually live this thing out, maybe shut the phone off, as hard as that is for me to do, and just learn to rest a little bit. But I did learn this week. This is just an aside. This is a free story. I won't charge you extra for this, okay? But I did learn this week one way that you can guarantee yourself some rest. This last week, I was down in Orlando, Florida with our partners at Mission of Mercy. They asked me to come down to be a part of a conference that they were a part of down there with the National Association of Christian Churches. So I was down there sharing with other pastors and other church leaders about our partnership with Mission of Mercy. And I was in this hotel. We were right on Disney property, but I never left the hotel for 56 straight hours. I was in the hotel for 56 straight hours. We'd just go down to the conference center. We'd come back up, go to bed. We'd come down to the conference center. We'd come back up and go to bed. Thank God there was a Starbucks in the lobby, or I probably wouldn't have survived. But the last night I was there, we got done about 9 o'clock. We tore the booth down, and I thought, oh, I've got a couple of hours here. I really wanted to do what all good parents would want to do if they were at Disney World. I wanted to go out to the downtown Disney area, and I wanted to take pictures of myself at all my kids' favorite places there and send them back to them. You know, I thought, man, what a great thing for me to do as a father, as a pastor. But so I went back up to my room. I'm like, I got a couple hours before everything starts to shut down here. So I was going to throw some shorts on. I was going to walk. It was about, I don't know, it was just across the street to the downtown Disney area, if you've ever been down there. And so I walk in my room, and I throw my journal and my phone and stuff on the bed, and I walk out onto the balcony. There's a sliding glass door at the balcony, and I walk out, and I could see Epcot Center. I could see the Magic Kingdom. I could see everything from the balcony of my hotel. So I walk out on the hotel balcony, and just out of habit, I just kind of slide the sliding glass door shut behind me. You know where this is going, don't you? Have I told you this story? Yeah. No, this was total sitcom, because as soon as the door hit, I heard it latch. I thought, what am I going to do? So I turn around, I grab the door, you know, and it's really locked. And then through the glass door, like it's mocking me, is my phone sitting on the bed. So it's sitting there just like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So I kind of sat there and I looked out into the parking lot. My room kind of looked over the parking lot of the hotel, and there was no one. There was no one out there. So I'm kind of standing there waiting. I'm thinking, oh God, what am I going to do? Because I can't even play Words with Friends while I'm waiting, right? Finally, these two girls, I'm on the ninth floor too, all right? I'm on the ninth floor. These two girls come walking through the parking lot, and I see them down there, so I yell down to them. I'm like, hey! And I'm telling you, they thought I was some creep, you know? I mean, I don't know how else to say it. But I finally got their attention, and I yelled my room number down. I couldn't tell if they could hear me or anything. But so finally, about 20 minutes later, two guys from the hotel come busting through my door and rescued me. But I thought, you know, if you ever need to rest, just lock yourself on a balcony with your phone inside. You know, it's all kind of taken care of for you there. So, you know, sometimes these illustrations, they just find us, you know. It's not even, we don't even have to try. So, but anyway, so I'm honored to be here with you guys today. We're gonna continue this conversation about rest. But before I do it, I want to read a passage of Scripture to you. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to it. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 11. We're going to pull up verse 28 through 30. And I believe Nathan read this to you last week out of The Message, which is a paraphrase version of the Bible by Eugene Peterson, which just expresses this so beautifully. But I want to read it to you today out of the NLT and the New Living Translation, and then we're going to dive in and see if we can discern what God wants to say to us today. It says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.'" Let's pray together. Lord, I just invite you here today to speak to us. Lord, we go through this life, Lord, we go through our week. God, in the world, it lies to us, Lord. It speaks things to us about who we are and about who you are that just simply aren't true. And so today, as we return to your word, I pray that we could gaze upon you. We could gaze upon who you really are, God, not who we want you to be, God, not who we may falsely believe you to be, but God, we would glance on you, Lord, for who you really are today. Lord, be here in this place. Pray, God, that everything that is shared, Lord, would be from your heart. And God, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us deep in the recesses of our being. Remind us, God, that, Lord, you have already done what we cannot do for ourselves. So we hang on to the gospel today. We hang on to the truth of who you are, God, in our lives. We just pray that would resonate inside of us today as we talk about what it means to rest, God, to truly rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I've learned some things about myself as I get a little bit older. I'm ticking towards another flip of the decade. I'll let you guess which one that is. As I get older, I notice that I can't hide my fatigue as much. It kind of catches up with me. Last night, we were at the Indians game. Were some of you at the Indians game last night? I know somebody caught a home run from your church, didn't they? Yeah? Yeah? All right. I was so afraid when I saw that ball. I was like, oh, please don't hit one of the children. And then she came up with it like victory, you know? So, but, you know, we had to be there. We had to load out all of our gear about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and we took it over, and we had to wait, and we set up on the third baseline, and we did the pre-service stuff before the game with Andre Dawson, who, by the way, if you were there and you saw him, I think that guy still works out. What do you think? Oh, my gosh. Man, that was impressive. But anyway, You know, after the game, we were out in center field. We had a table out there, and I was walking around talking to people. And I could just feel the fatigue in my body. I'm like, when did this happen, right? Like, when did I start feeling it? Like, you know, when you're a kid, it's like you just go until you collapse, right? And you start feeling it in your body and your system. And I've started noticing it, honestly, when I can no longer coherently process my thoughts. Anybody know what that's like? It's like, you know, when I start struggling for you know, putting a coherent thought together, I'm like, I probably ought to rest a little bit. I probably ought to chill out a little bit. But, you know, and also I've noticed it when my kids drive me crazy. Yeah, that probably means that I need to sit down and rest. And we've been going through this process. We just bought a new house, and we haven't moved into it yet. We don't move into it till the 1st of August. But we've been painting, and we've been doing new flooring, and we've been putting things in the house, and so we've been working on it a lot, like after hours and in the evenings and all that kind of stuff. And so this last Saturday night, and this always happens to pastors on Saturday night, all right? We'd been working all day, and we were exhausted, right? And I could tell because everything was a big deal to me. Everything was a big deal. Everything was driving me crazy, and that's a surefire sign. So I also knew, though, that we had to. My brother-in-law was having his 40th birthday bash the next day. We were unable to go, so we were going to record a little, you know, little iPhone video, you know, for my brother-in-law. So I piled all three of my kids, my wife, and she was standing behind me, and I did the whole, you know, hold it kind of out here, and we were just going to say happy birthday to him, kind of send this video down for the party. And I have a 7-year-old son, and I could probably just stop there, and you would all see where this is going, okay? But I have a 7-year-old son, and 7-year-old boys, they're not real good at behaving and doing what they're told, and they like to make faces, and they fidget, and they don't like to stand still. Except for me, I was perfect when I was 7, but didn't pass that through the gene pool, apparently. But so I'm trying to shoot this video. It's about 10 o'clock at night. We're exhausted. We've been painting all day at the house, and my son, he just won't stand still. He just won't stand still. He's bouncing back and forth, and he's being crazy, and I lost my mind. I did. I'm just confessing to you as a pastor. You know, I like to tell these stories because I figure it's better for you to hear them from me, you know, than from someone else. But, you know, I slammed my fist down on the table, and I threw my phone down, and I turned around, and I said, you know, I don't even remember what I said. Can't you stand still for 2 minutes? And I got up, and I stormed out of the room like a real mature adult pastor, professional Christian, right? And I'm out in the garage, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Eric, you idiot, right? You know, because, but I've learned that you know, sleep, literally, if you look at scientific studies of sleep and rest, it's actually like rebooting your computer. You know how your computer just starts to slow down the longer you use it? Or am I the only one that has one of those? But the longer you use it, and it's because the files, they get all kind of jumbled around, and they've been pulled and accessed by the CPU from different places, and you need to just restart the computer. You need to give it a chance to shut down and reboot, and it reorganizes all the files. Well, it's the same with us. It's the same with our brains and with who we are. And so I've started to notice this about myself more, especially as I get older. But the other thing I've noticed is, and I think really as humans, guys, we're prone to hyperbole, and we're prone to extremes, okay? Because I'll be honest with you, I really, really have a hard time with busyness. I really do. The message that Nathan preached to you last week with the metronome, I mean, I tick to a pretty fast metronome. I'm the guy, Nathan and I are in our previous lives, we were music pastors together. Nathan led worship and I was the music guy. It was kind of the behind-the-scenes guy for the music department. But we recorded about 5 or 6 live worship albums together when we were at Lakeview Church on the west side. And I was the guy who 6-7 months out from the event, I had like catalogs of binders and checklists, right? Like, I mean, big fat binders. That's why I like Dustin and Dave. I mean, they would come to us a year in advance. I was like, oh, you found my love language, right? So I was the guy with the binders, okay? You know, and it was always funny because Nathan was always like, "Oh, that stuff's stupid," you know. You can be all panicked right now, but see, about 2 weeks before the event, I would relax. I would start to exhale, and Nathan would start freaking out. So it was like we passed the baton, you know. He was the freak out at the last minute. I was the freak out 6 months in advance. And it always seemed to work as long as we never freaked out at the same time. It always seemed to go well. But I'm the binder, checklist, busy, You know, like I have the task list on my computer, and nothing feels better than checking a box off your task list, does it? I mean, it's like, oh God, thank you. You know, boop, done, right? But I've also noticed that it's not just physical busyness, but it's my brain. I like my brain to be busy. So, you know, the iPhone has become like the all-time busy man's treat, right? Because even if your brain starts to relax a little bit, it starts to shut down, starts to get a little bored. You know, you've got Facebook, you've got Twitter, you've got ESPN.com. Oh, right? You've got Words with Friends, and then you've got this new one, Scramble with Friends. Ooh, I like that one. That's a whole lot of fun. But our brain, I'm the kind of guy who likes to be stimulated. I like to be busy. I like to be doing things. You know, and I think a lot of us are that way from the standpoint that we sometimes find our identity, don't we? I think this is probably especially true for guys. We find our identity in what we do. Sometimes, honestly, if a relationship's a little strained, maybe in our lives or in my life, you know, if we want to avoid the strained relationship, we stay busy, you know, clean the house so we don't have to talk to our wives. You know, it's you know, am I the only one? I'm the only one that does that. You know, but busyness, it makes us feel valuable. It makes us feel good about ourselves. I think there's something about the human condition that likes to earn. Like we like to earn something, we like to do something in order to achieve something. And part of that's good, but I think part of it's also why we have a hard time understanding the gift of the gospel and how something could be done for us that we can't earn. You know, some of us are busy because we're overextended. We have to work two or three jobs just to pay the bills, right? Some of us are busy because we're addicted to input, right? We talked about the iPhone. As quiet as you guys are, I must be the only one that has trouble with my iPhone. I've even checked it up here while I'm on the platform here this morning. But I think also part of the reason that we love to stay busy is because we struggle to trust. We struggle to trust. We struggle to trust others, and honestly, we struggle to trust God. But in our extremes, okay, because I told you, I am Mr. Busy. I'm Mr. Checklist. I like to stay busy. I like to stay active. But I also have noticed another problem, and it's one that I want to talk about today, and I want to differentiate, I think, from this dialogue of rest, because I can also be one of the laziest people on planet Earth. Yeah? Because we're prone to extremes, we're prone to hyperbole, we're prone to run to one side of the equation or the other. You know, areas where I'm really lazy, yard work, yeah? See, we just moved out of a house that had a fence, and we put this fence in, we moved into the house about 10 years before, and we put it in like the first year we had it, and it was one of those old slat wooden fences, and every year, like in the sun, it would warp more, you know, and slats would break off, and, you know, it was like I always knew I needed to go out and fix the fence. You know, the dog would get out and run, you know, run through the holes in the fence, but, you know, I was always like, I'm not real good at construction work. My wife could attest to that. So I tend to stay away from that. You know, the other thing I hated about yard work was trimming. Anybody hate to trim the fence? You know, it's like I mow the whole yard. The fence can just, it's got like, you know, 3 foot tall weeds growing up in front of it. See? You laugh because you know, because it's true with you too. And so, you know, there are aspects of my life, cleaning the garage, you know, I mean, just, you know, helping my wife with the dishes. I can just be lazy. I can just flat out be lazy. So what do we do with this tension between the extremes that we live in, right? We live in these extremes between being kind of manic and busy and our brains are always having to be on. And yet at the same time, I can be one of the laziest people on planet Earth. I mean, so where does this conversation about rest, where does rest come into the conversation that we're trying to have today? And part of it is I don't think I understand, and maybe we don't understand truly what the concept of rest really is all about. So we're going to take a look at some scripture today and see if we can pull out some truths from God's word. Sound good? I hope so, because we're going to do it anyway. I want to take you back to the very beginning, Genesis. We're going to start with chapter 2. I think even if you haven't been a part of church or grown up in church, I assume most of you know what happened in chapter 1, the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth, you know. You know, God spoke, and each day had its own aspect of creation. You know, God spoke, and the earth was born, and animals and plants, and then finally his final culmination was human beings and humanity, and he created us. And I mean, the first chapter of Genesis is just such a beautiful account of the creative work of God. And then we get to the first few verses of chapter 2, and that's what I want to read to you today. Genesis chapter 2, let's pick it up in verse 1. Again, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. And on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day, and he declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation." I found a commentary from a guy named Matthew Henry, if you've ever read any commentaries or any studies of the Bible, and I'm going to ask Chuck to put it up on the screen because I want to try to illuminate some of the richness that's actually in those first three verses of chapter 2. So can you put that up on the screen? This is Matthew Henry commentary on those verses that we just read. It says, "After 6 days, God ceased from all works of creation. In miracles, he has overruled nature but never changed its settled course or added to it. God did not rest as one weary, but as one well pleased. Notice the beginning of the kingdom of grace in the sanctification or keeping holy of the Sabbath day." I want us to talk a little bit today about what I feel God is saying about this concept of rest. Because I think sometimes we can mistakenly believe that rest is simply about avoiding work. And I think what God shows us in the beautiful creation account is that rest is not just, the absence of effort. It's not just the absence of work. But it's stepping back and being well pleased with what we have done, with what we have created, and honoring the one who has given us the ability to do what it is that he has called and created us to do. See, I think rest is not just the absence of work. It's actually a part. It's actually a piece of the entire creative process. And I think somewhere in my mind, I kind of separate the two, right? It's like work and rest. Work and rest. And while obviously rest is the absence of work, it's actually a part of the whole. It's a part of the whole of the creative process. I told you I came out of a music background and studied music from the time I was 4 or 5 years old. I played the piano, studied piano all the way up through two and a half years of college. And then woke up one day, I tell everybody I woke up as a musician one day and I was staring at the ceiling and I was thinking, I'm going to starve to death. So I did the most logical thing that I thought I could do at the time, and I left my music degree and I became an accountant. So anyway, there's a whole nother story here and a whole nother sermon. I'm pretty confused. But if any of you have ever, I don't know, maybe there's some counseling for me afterwards. But anyway, I studied music. I studied music all the way up through 2 years of college. And one of the things that I've noticed about music in that capacity, or even the music that Dustin did for us this morning, you know, Nathan and I coming out of a music background and doing music at church, you know, I always remember our pastor would come up to us after service and he would say, you know, gosh, sometimes worship's like drinking out of a fire hydrant with you guys, you know, it's like, you know, you just turn the hose on. It's like, barrel them over, baby, you know, let's knock them down. And there's an aspect of music and musical expression that if there's not a breath, if there's not a rest, then the music becomes very manic. It almost makes us uncomfortable. If there's no ebb and flow, if there's no push and pull, and rests are not something completely separate from the creative work of the music. They are actually a part of the creative whole. I think we see this in artwork as well, in visual arts as well. There's a concept for anybody in here in like graphic design or visual arts? Anybody? Yeah, a few of you. But there's this concept called white space. Have you ever heard of white space? Yeah, if you look at a design, maybe in a magazine or even a graphic design as it's been laid out, if the designer fills every aspect of the space with imagery, it actually kind of messes with your brain. It actually keeps you from being able to absorb the whole. And I think there's a quote about this concept of white space from people who are smarter than me. I find these things on the internet because you know that everything on the internet is true, right? So, but check this out. I want you to think about this within the context of this dialogue about rest. White space should not be considered merely blank space. It is an important element of design which enables the objects in it to exist at all. The balance between positive or non-white and the use of negative spaces is the key to aesthetic composition. So how can we pull that into this conversation about rest? Because I think sometimes we mistakenly think that rest is separate from the creative calling that we have in our lives. But no, rest is actually a part of the creative process. Chuck, if you've got that picture, this is a famous painting, and I can't pronounce the artist's name, so I'm not even going to try. He's Dutch, okay? You can look it up online. But one of the things this painter was known for was his use of white space. And you can see it in this kind of abstract or modern art piece, right? And you see that on the white canvas, he's painted giant red squares and yellow squares and black squares and blue squares. He likes squares. He's very geometric. But there are also aspects of white space. And this white space is not just blank space. It is actually a part and a piece of the entire creative process. It's a part of the artwork. It's a part of the expression. And I think that's what God is speaking to us about this idea of rest today. Because I think we can be prone to extremes. We can be prone to becoming manic, okay? I will confess, probably subtly, if he was held under a lie detector test, probably a lot of Nathan's illustrations for you last week, he was probably thinking about me in the back of his head, okay? We kind of have that kind of a relationship. I'll share some about him later, okay? We can do that afterwards. But I can be completely manic. I can become completely absorbed in do. And one of the hardest things for me this coming week as we load up in the van and we go to Gatlinburg is going to be to check out. I have a hard time doing it. It's like my brain needs input. My brain needs stimulus. My body needs activity. It's like I've got to have it, right? It's almost like a drug and an addiction. And I think we can migrate in that direction, or we can completely avoid the responsibility and creative calling that God has given to us in our lives. We tend to migrate towards one or the other. And what I want to leave you with today is this understanding that rest is not just an absence of work. It is a part of the creative process. I want us to look at one more passage of Scripture. I want us to look at the flip side of this conversation. If you've got your Bible, and again, we'll put it up on the screen as well, turn back to the book of Matthew 25. And we're going to pick it up at verse 14. Because I think as much as God is warning us about busyness, about not understanding this concept of rest and not absorbing the rest into our lives and living at a metronome tempo like Nathan was playing for you last week, I think we also have to understand how God feels about the flip side of the equation. So we're going to look here at Matthew 25. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven, and this is Jesus talking, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and he entrusted his money to them while he was gone. And he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportions to their abilities. He then left on his trip. And the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money, and he earned 5 more. And the servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work, and he earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver, he dug a hole in the ground, and he hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip, and he called them in to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more, and he said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. And the master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. And the master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." You see a pattern here? Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came, and he said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." And then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. I think we need to understand the difference between rest and avoiding our responsibilities, between rest and avoiding the creative mandate and call that God has placed on our lives. So as we continue to develop this conversation over the next few days or next few weeks, I want you to think about rest as the white space. Rest is not just the avoidance of responsibility. It's not just the avoidance of the creative output and calling that God has placed on your life or my life. It is a part of the whole creative process. It is the breath in the music, right? I'm going to ask the guys to come back up, and we're going to close in a time of prayer this morning. I want you to think today about your own life. I want you to think about these areas where the rhythms of your life, like Nathan talked about last week, where the rhythms have gotten frenetic and manic. And maybe you're like me, you're slamming your fists on tables and throwing your phones and yelling at the kids, and it's like part of you is just like, I gotta get out of this rhythm. This rhythm is just, I'm pushing too hard. I'm certain that there are areas of your life, areas of my life where I feel the need to back off and to rest. Maybe it's not even just physically, maybe it's your mind and understanding that the white spaces and the breath and the rests in the music are actually part of the creative process and output of our lives. But I also want you to think, guys, because I have these areas in my life too. Those areas where you're pushing off your responsibility and you're pushing off your creative capacity because you're afraid, because it's hard, you know? Because you don't know how people are going to respond or react to you. There's a beauty that is in your life that needs to be expressed, and it needs to be brought out, and it needs to be brought out within the rhythms of God's grace. Rest is a part of the creative process. It is not the avoidance of it. It is not the abdication of responsibility. It is a piece of the whole. So I want us to pray today. And then these guys are going to lead us in a song. But before I do that, I always want to end these messages with a pushback to Jesus Christ. I think sometimes as pastors, I'm guilty of this, we come in and we begin to look at God's word, right? We begin to look at our lives through the lens of God's word, and we begin to see ourselves lacking. Or am I the only one? And there can be a tendency, I think, in times like this to begin to feel like it's all just about, oh, I got to do more, try harder, do more, try harder, do more, try harder, or in this case, do less, try less, right? You know, it's like we look at our lives through the lens of God's word, and it's like, oh, I'm so far away from where I'm supposed to be. So I don't want you to leave here today with a misunderstanding. When we look at our life through the lens of God's word and we find ourselves lacking, it's like our lives, they crash up against it, right? And if you're like me, do you ever say, you know, like today, I'm like, hey, well, don't be manic and work too hard and don't be lazy. And you're like, what am I supposed to do, right? Like, I don't know which side of the equation. You know, I'm confused, you know? And sometimes our lives, they smash up against the truth of God's word. And we just feel at the end of our rope. We don't know, what do you want from me, God? And in all honesty, guys, I want to tell you today, that's exactly where God wants us to be. Because it's only when you realize that you can't please God on your own that you will begin to step into the truth of the gospel, and you will stop seeing what you need to do or not do in this case, and you will start seeing what Christ has already done for you. And the transformation process begins at that point. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the final week when I'm back here in 2 weeks, about how we rest not in what we need to do, but in what Christ has already done. So I want to make sure to point you back to Him today. He is the center. He is the life. He has done for you what you cannot do for yourself, and that is good news. Let me pray for you. Father, I just pray today that the truth of who you are, God, would wash over us, God, that it would wash over our souls today. God, that you would help us to understand what rest truly is. Lord, that we would not live manic lives, Lord, that are lived at a pace that you never intended for us to live. Lord, but that we would also not avoid the creative responsibility that you have placed upon our lives, Lord. Help us to realize, God, that rest is a part of the creative process. It's a part of the breath and the ebb and flow, Lord. Help us to learn, God, how to live in the white spaces, Lord, God of our lives. But Lord, do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, that you don't just hand out a bunch of rules and say, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, without giving us the power through your Son, Jesus Christ, to be pleasing to you. And so, Lord, I thank you, God, that it is about what you have already done on our behalf today, and that we will rest in that. Lord, let the truth of your word go with us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.